Joining us tonight, he is my co-host, Hour 2. We have the inside scoop here on the Leslie Marshall Show, Hour 2, every Tuesday. And somebody who fills in for me, hosts his own talk show, and a very good friend personally and professionally who predicted this one right. So we said we've got to have Mark back on, even though he was with us last night. Mark Levine joins us. Good evening, Mark, and welcome. Thank you for joining us, sweetie. And you were definitely right on this. But before we start talking about the actual ruling, how this breaks down, I have a million questions. One, you weren't surprised because this was your prediction.
Right.
But were you surprised at the 5-4 ruling? Were you surprised?
Not at all. In fact, you may recall I said it was going to be Kennedy and the four liberal justices, and that on the California decision it might include Roberts as well. The only thing that surprised me was that sort of the mix on the California decision, but that's because it was sort of they split up, the liberals and conservatives, on that one. But that's because they basically dismissed the case, letting the lower court California stand. I didn't think Scalia would do that, but his vote actually wasn't even necessary. So, that surprised me a little bit, but the basic DOMA case didn't surprise me at all.
Now, so somebody asked me today, Leslie, you know, you're in politics and news and you know this stuff better. And I said, well, I'm not a lawyer. And they said, but explain to me how the Supreme Court can consider the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional, or conservatives don't, but some conservatives considered California's Proposition 8 unconstitutional, or is it just because it's a difference between, federal and state, or they just wanted to please some people politically on both sides of the aisle, one with one ruling, one with the other?
No, I think there are very different legal questions. The case of the Defense of Marriage Act is states that recognize same-sex marriage. Citizens in those states, citizens in Massachusetts and New York and Rhode Island and all the states that have same-sex marriage, did not have full marriage rights in those states. In Massachusetts, people thought, well, gay couples can marry in Massachusetts. Not really, because they could get married and they could have rights under Massachusetts law, but they couldn't file a joint tax return with the IRS. They couldn't get Social Security benefits. They couldn't get all the federal privileges and even some responsibilities that spouses have one to the other under federal law. So Massachusetts gay couples were not equal in their marriages to Massachusetts straight couples. And what the court found is the Defense of Marriage Act, by forcing states to discriminate against citizens they didn't want to discriminate against, was unconstitutional. Now, the question of California is a very different question.
Hang on. Because we got to take a break. I don't want to get into this. Be thinking about this, though. I want people to understand how anybody, regardless of their politics, could not consider it discriminatory to say that you and your husband can't file a joint tax return in a state that recognizes your marriage, but my husband and I can. That I can't wrap my head around with the 5-4 ruling in the Defense of Marriage Act decision. We'll talk more about that with our guest, Mark Levine, right after this. If you want to join us, pick up the phone and do so, 8886-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Mark is host of the Washington-based radio television talk show, The Inside Scoop, and the Raucous Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW, 89.3 FM. We'll be back right after this. Persistence. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back to the only true democracy in talk radio. And one of the only people who I let fill in for me, and the only person who co-hosts Hour 2 on Tuesdays with me, the new Inside Scoop segment that we have every Tuesday, Hour 2, is my buddy, Mark Levine. If you don't know Mark not only is a host of his own shows, he sits in for me, he's been a guest on the show, and we're more than pleased to have him as a guest in this hour here regarding the Supreme Court decisions regarding DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, and the Proposition 8 case. So, Mark, thank you for holding me back. So that people understand, how could anybody, regardless of their leanings, and we had four with conservative leanings, Supreme Court justices, justify and rule, you know, what were their justifications, that a man and a woman in Massachusetts who are married are able to file a tax return to the IRS and have their marriage federally recognized, but, I mean, you know, in the state of Massachusetts, even though the Defense of Marriage Act was held up because of the 5-4 ruling, the majority on the 9-person Supreme Court, Four of those opinions were dissenting, obviously. They were conservatives. And how can you justify that? I mean, that to me is blatant discrimination. You know, I mean, they could easily say that, you know, black people can't file tax returns. Or if you're in a, you know, integrated marriage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and if you read the four dissents, you can see the reasoning behind their decision. Justice Scalia basically points out, and he's quite right, that the federal government has two choices. They can either go with what the states decide, which is what the majority held today, or they could simply say, we need to treat all citizens equally and deny civil rights to all citizens equally. Because, you know, equality could either mean equality of benefits or equality of denial of benefits. And he says, basically, not the question I asked, you asked, Leslie, why shouldn't a Massachusetts gay married couple have all the rights of a Massachusetts straight married couple? He says, why shouldn't a Massachusetts gay couple be denied the same rights they're denied in Alabama? And therefore, we'd have equality under the law. Justice Alito, interestingly, cites the same thing that Justice Kennedy makes fun of. Justice Kennedy makes fun of the fact that the people defending so-called traditional marriage rely on the Bible, and he points out, of course, that, you know, the Bible is not the Constitution, and, you know, we're allowed to practice any religion we want under the First Amendment, and those aren't valid arguments, and yet Justice Alito resorts precisely to those biblical arguments and tries to make a biblical argument that this is the tradition, this is the Abrahamic tradition, as he says. I seem to recall, by the way, Abraham had more than one wife and several concubines, but I don't know, Justice Alito may not remember the Bible the way I do, but the point is that they defend it based on religion, at least Justice Alito.
He probably didn't read it, Mark. You know, most people who quote the Bible don't.
Well, exactly. I mean, polygamy was actually very common in the
right.
Bible.
And not only polygamy, but incest, and you know, and if you and I were brother and sister, and my sister, if you you're my brother-in-law, right? Or you know, you're my husband, and my sister's husband dies, it's your responsibility to marry her. So you're sleeping
that's
with your sister-in-law.
Marriages.
Right.
That's right. If a brother's wife dies, the other brother is required to marry her under some biblical laws. The point is very simple. We're not a theocracy. The Bible is not our constitution. That doesn't mean we can't respect it and people can't practice whatever religion they want, but it is not the law of the United States. And that's why I think Kennedy was absolutely right in dismissing those arguments. And I actually found it surprising that Justice Alito had the audacity to even describe those arguments. Interestingly, that opinion is just joined by Thomas. Roberts and Scalia were not going to go as far as to cite the Bible to defend, dismissal of marriage equality.
When we look at the ruling, first of all, with DOMA, so that people understand, what does this mean for gay men and lesbian women throughout the United States? Or does it only protect those who live in states? And I want to say live in, and then separate that from married in. For example, if you live in Massachusetts, okay, and you've been married in Massachusetts, you can now file a joint tax return because it will be federally recognized. But if you live in Massachusetts and move to Alabama, let's say, can you still do that? Or is it not, it's not recognized by Alabama, but it is now recognized by the federal government. So do you know what I'm saying? That seems to be a gray area. What happens in cases like that? Because some people have to move for their jobs and whatnot.
It is a gray area. What the law does today, without question, is in the 12 states and now the 13th state, California, in 13 states and the District of Columbia, where same-sex marriage is legal, same-sex couples will have all the legal rights and responsibilities, because there's some marital responsibilities, that straight couples have, that opposite-sex couples have. That's clear for people in those 12 states and District of Columbia. The cases you raise, actually Justice Scalia raised as well in his dissent, and he said, now we have all kinds of interesting legal questions that we don't have the answer to. I rarely agree with Justice Scalia, but I agree with him that we don't yet have an answer to what happens to that Massachusetts couple that moves to Alabama. Scalia said this is just the first foot in the barn. He didn't use that very bad metaphor I just used, but he basically said, look, next term, he made it very clear that the very strong marriage equality language in the majority opinion would later be used to basically say that same-sex couples can get married all across the United States. And that may well be true. And he gave exactly the kinds of examples you did, Leslie. What if a couple moves? The answer is that has yet to be litigated. But it's my firm belief, I made this prediction right, and I'll make the next prediction right, that certainly within a decade, and maybe even within 5 years, we're going to let those cases percolate up through the system, and eventually there'll be same-sex marriage in all 50 states. That's still got, I think, a 5 to 10 year lag period to go, but I do think that is the future, and Justice Scalia derisively predicted the exact same thing.
In addition to filing a joint tax return, what are the benefits of this ruling? And let's talk about the symbolic benefits separately. I want to talk about specific benefits for what were once considered life partners or married within the state, but not on a federal level, now married on a federal level. How does that change for them, if in any way, other than being able to file a joint tax return?
Confers approximately 2,000 benefits to married couples and responsibilities. About 1,000 are at the state level and about 1,000 at the federal level. So at the federal level, we have joint income taxes. We have survivor's rights, for example, Social Security. If your spouse dies, you get the Social Security benefits. We have all the health care benefits. We've talked a lot about Obamacare. Well, you get benefits when you're in the same family. You also get benefits in the sense that your income is taken in consideration, whether for Medicaid or other benefits like that, student loans. It's interesting. Some of these are responsibilities. I mean, you could imagine a case where you've got a gay married couple and one is very rich and one is very poor, and the poor person would obtain benefits except for their marriage, which is supposed to be considered jointly. Now all married couples will be considered the same. So they're not all benefits. Some are responsibilities. There's spousal privileges in litigation. You are not required, for example, to testify against your wife or husband. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, I do.
You're not. You know that. I'm sorry, Logan. I don't know if your listeners know that. Maybe they all do. A gay couple now cannot be required to testify one against the other. There's certain penal benefits. For example, if you shoot the wife of a federal office holder or the husband of a federal office holder, there's certain greater penalties. There's also certain conflict of interest. For example, you can imagine there's a congressman, Barney Frank, for example, is married. Prior to this law, his husband could do whatever he wanted, lobby other people and so forth. It wouldn't be prohibited because he wouldn't be legally recognized as his husband under federal law. Now, Barney Frank, if he were still in Congress, his husband would be treated the same as anyone else's husbands in Congress. So it's equality across the law. There's literally 1,000-plus benefits. I couldn't possibly name them all. But in almost every aspect of your life, marriage plays a role, both at the state and federal level.
When we that's Defense of Marriage Act. Now let's look at the symbolic meaning. You're a gay man. I am not gay. I am definitely, in a sense, politically I'm part of the gay community because we're on the same page ideologically, because I've fought for different things. I've given speeches at different things. And also I was in theater. I mean, need I say more? No, I'm just joking. The gay community has been a part of my life, my whole life. You know, I have artsy parents. I have liberal parents. And that's not the case, you know, for everyone necessarily. And I say that because I want people listening who don't have maybe gay friends or relatives, as I do, are not gay themselves, to fully comprehend what it does mean symbolically. What did it mean, even though you predicted it, to actually hear your prediction come true as a gay man in America today?
Well, what can I say? I mean, my heart leapt. I did expect it, but still, it's a beautiful thing to see. It's something that I personally have been working for. In fact, if your listeners, when your show is over, will go to the Huffington Post and Google Vindication or my name, Mark Levine, you'll learn about some of the efforts I did, beginning with I'm one of the four founders of Marriage Equality California. In 1999, we started the ragtag Valentine's Day protests in Beverly Hills. Many of us tried to get married. We were rejected that day. All the way through, I did work on D.C.'s marriage equality law, but it's not just me. There's thousands of people. What it really means is equality under the law. And maybe for a straight white man, maybe that may be a bit more difficult to understand. But I think women and African Americans and Latinos and those who've been discriminated against in America fully understand what it means to be a second-class citizen. And that's why I also wrote in that piece on vindication, I'm really glad to hear that Mark Grimaldi spoke about it in your first segment, you know, how sad I am that this occurs a day after the Supreme Court invalidated the vital section of the Voting Rights Act, because I believe in equality for all, and, I don't believe in equality for one group should be on the backs of someone else. So I will continue to fight with the African-American community to overturn and to that decision and to bring back the Voting Rights Act, just as I celebrate today. Because to me, we cannot be a full and equal country. We cannot believe in the Declaration of Independence that says all men and, yes, women are created equal until all of us have equal rights under the law. This was always about equal rights under the law. And it's a vindication, but it's not over. There's still 37 states, where there is not marriage equality. Today, including California, more than a quarter of American citizens have marriage equality, but three quarters still do not. So the battle's not over. But yes, this, I think, will be remembered as the turning point in the fight for marriage equality and indeed for equality under the law for everyone.
Before we take a call, we have somebody calling from London. I just wanted you to quickly explain to folks what the decision regarding California's Proposition 8 means for those gay men and lesbian women, the gay community in the state of California with regard to Proposition 8. By the way, I live next door to one of the people that was very high up in the Mormon Church who started Prop 8 in California.
Well, the quick answer means that California will have marriage equality. When that will happen depends on a few little legal procedural things. My best prediction would be within 90 days or so, California will have marriage equality. It won't be tomorrow.
And so people understand listening, because we were talking about equality with regard to tax returns. That means that in the state of California, just like in the state of Massachusetts as an example, you will be able to marry whomever you choose, regardless
Absolutely.
Of their gender.
Any consenting non-related adults will be able to marry. There'll be no restriction based on a party's gender. That's exactly right. So California will become the 13th state, along with the District of Columbia, to have full marriage equality. Of course, California is probably, with San Francisco and Los Angeles, I would argue has the strongest gay community in the United States. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of jubilation tonight throughout California. The reason for this opinion, by the way, just real quick, because it was sort of decided on technical grounds, a lower court judge dismissed it as unconstitutional based on the California Constitution, not based on the U.S. Constitution. And then there was a technical question of whether or not anyone could appeal because the governor and the attorney general of California said, well, we agree. We don't want to appeal this thing. And basically the Supreme Court said, if the governor and the attorney general of California believe that this law, Proposition 8, is unconstitutional, then there's no one left to defend it. So we're going to let the lower court decision stand. It's a technical reason, but the reality is quite clear. The nation's largest state will have full marriage equality within about 3 months.
Let's take our caller from London. Samir joins us. Samir, good evening. Thank you for joining us. Welcome. Question or comment for our guest, Mark Levine, in this hour.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, I just wanted to say I think it's an absolutely wonderful decision by the Supreme Court justices. They voted for fairness and equality before the law. I'm especially happy for the binational couples who have been separated because of this discriminatory DOMA and have had to choose between love and country.
Mark?
Oh, this is a very, very important issue for binational couples. I actually have a very close friend, one of whom is American and from the District of Columbia, which allows marriage equality. The other is Canadian, and they actually could not live in the United States. They had to leave. The Canadian had lived here for many years. The American, of course, was born here. They had to leave the country. They live in Canada today, not by choice. They were exiled because of DOMA. Now they'll be able to come home. So this is vitally important for binational couples. Basically, the rule is if you are allowed to be married in your home state, you should be allowed to give your spouse the same green card benefits if you're gay that you'd be able to provide if you're straight. So this is very, very important for binational couples. But people should remember it's only in those 13 states and District of Columbia. If you're a binational couple and you reside in Georgia or Alabama, then for now, you still do not get marriage equality.
Anything else, Samir?
Absolutely. I'm a conservative in England, and my conservative-led government has introduced marriage equality in our country and have championed it, although we have had our fair share of opposition. I just wanted to know if you thought that whether the Republicans will change their mind on this issue, and perhaps in the next presidential election you'll have a candidate who supports marriage equality or at least tolerates it.
Well, first of all, Samir, I want to congratulate you in the United Kingdom. I want to congratulate France, along with the Netherlands. There are a number of European countries who, frankly, started the way. The Netherlands, I believe, and Belgium was the first. So congratulations to the UK on that. I think your Conservative Party is good credit to your party, but not to us in the United States. They're more, let's just say, socially tolerant than our Republican Party in the United States. Our Republican Party in the United States is based far more on Christian fundamentalism than I would think your Conservative Party is. Both Conservative parties would agree on issues of taxes and things like that, but there's a strong moralist element in our Republican Party. So no, I do not think that the next Republican president will endorse marriage equality. But I'll tell you this, I predict in 8 years, here's my next prediction, I like giving them out, we'll see if I'm right. By 2024, I think the Republican candidate will endorse marriage equality, because if you look at all polls in the United States, not only do the majority of American citizens support marriage equality now, but there's a huge difference in age. Those over 65 still are two-thirds against marriage equality. Those under 30, it's 85 to 90%. So the future is with marriage equality, and one day, I may be wrong about 2024, it might be 2028, one day even the Republican Party, I'm convinced, will change its tune on this. I do not think it will happen in 2016.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Levine has been joining us, host of the Inside Scoop and the Ruckus Caucus. Quick break. Back to you and Talk Radio News Services up next. Don't go away.